This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Come on, you'd be a disaster if I went away.
I'm codependent on you now. I can't have you leave. I don't like you doing the podcast.
And welcome aboard. I'm Dave Rothenberg, and this is Rothenberg on Talk, our maiden voyage.
I can expand my wings, do other things, and still be here for you.
Have you heard of the mole people?
You want to go do documentaries with the mole people?
By the way, I do want to see you do that, but I would fear for your safety.
They absolutely. Could attack me, making me teach them classes down there.
What was Dan Reeves' record as Giants coach?
This is DCR.
Morning drive on red solo cups down to the mole people. Dave Rothenberg coming in live.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 7 o'clock hour. It is DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. Don't make fun of the mole people. It's an entire population down below the subway systems. They live and they populate and they're living their best life. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. Diana Rossini at 7:30 this morning. I'm going to be very well behaved. Just walk in.
Damage is done.
No, it's damage not.
Is done. Yeah, it is.
No, she really likes me very much. I might even ask her on the podcast.
I can't. There's no chance she says yes to a podcast. Zero.
Why?
I don't think she'll do it. I think she's afraid of you a little bit.
No.
Podcast implies you're spending at least a half an hour.
Yeah. And it's like personal. The whole untucked thing doesn't. I don't think that would sit well. Like Dave
what do you
Rothenberg
think you don't
untucked.
Think untucked would sit well with her?
Well, unzip. It would be Dave Rothenberg unzipped.
Oh, you really have emotional issues.
I just had higher. Listen, I had higher expectations for the podcast. I thought I was going to see like savage Dave Rothenberg.
Well, not like. It's been two episodes.
Yeah,
there's nothing
but,
to go savage about.
Yeah, but you only get like the one time to make a good first impression. I thought the first one you're going to come out of the gate swinging crazy.
No, I'm going to come out screaming and yelling.
That's what people expected. Then why call it untucked?
Because it's a loose version.
No, it should be like Dave, like buttoned up is what it should be. Like you got makeup on, you got Vaseline on your face, like your lips are all shiny.
I look terrific.
Oh, hi guys, this is the maiden voyage on the Dave Rothenberg Untucked.
So
podcast.
You would if I offer her an appearance on the podcast, you would. Think that's a bad thing to do?
No, I think it's a good thing to do. I think she says no.
Why would she say no?
I mean, Carlin, he just hit it. Like, now like she's doing a 6-minute spot with us with buffers. I mean, Carlin and I aren't obviously creepy like you. We're here to protect her. And then all of a sudden, now she's going to commit to doing half hour on a podcast?
I think it would be good. I think it would be entertaining. I think she'd be fascinating. And I think it would be great conversation.
She's an amazing guest.
Mm-hmm.
She's really good guest. It's just, you know... I think
her.
It would be one of those things where, you know, maybe you'd ask her to come on. She said yes, and she'd say yes, and then she had a flat tire.
Oh, so she would Jay Williams me is what you're saying.
Yes, I think.
Or a police escort, one of the two.
No, on Zoom?
I don't know.
Zoom right in there.
Hold on, let me set the alarm before I do this podcast, just in case.
Oh, stop it. I am harmless. I'm a lovely guy. Harmless.
Diana, I noticed that you're doing the call from your living room. Excuse me?
Oh,
nothing. I apologize.
Is that what kind of artwork you have up there? All right.
Move that picture, huh?
That's not where it was when I was outside the house last time. So Diana Rossini, 7:35. I'm going to ask her on the podcast. And here's what I want from you. I don't want you to push her into a way of not to do it. I want you to say, yeah, Diana, that would be great. You should do the podcast.
No, that's fine. I'll push her. I'll say you should do it. I don't think she does it. And I think the people that I talk to, a lot of people, you know this. I got the pulse
you're
of the people.
Insider.
Yeah, I mean they're disappointed with the podcast right now.
And how so? Why?
Well, I just think they had higher expectations. They thought untucked meant like the unfiltered.
It isn't unfiltered.
See, no, but
did you hear what Carl Banks had to say untucked. About Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, yeah, but he was untucked. You weren't
untucked. That's not what I get when I hear Dave say Dave Rothenberg untucked. I get him wearing a plaid shirt that's untucked.
Yes.
Looking kind of dumpy.
I was not dumpy. For you to say that I look dumpy is
no,
you,
I'm
saying
that's what I would
that.
Envision. That when you say untucked, like, you know.
Right. So you don't think some raving lunatic. Otherwise, we would have called it unhinged.
I think that would have been better.
But I'm not unhinged. I'm very hinged. The hinges are on.
But that's not what people want. People want you unhinged. That's what separates you from everybody else.
All right, you're losing everyone now.
I've just got images of you like in an untucked shirt.
Oh, I'm crazy.
Talking about, you know, oh, we're going to go to Walmart today.
There's no Walmart. Listen, can we please talk about James Harden?
You're the one who's not doing it. You keep talking about your podcast.
All I said is we have Diana at 7:30. I didn't bring up the podcast. I just said I'm going to ask Diana. You guys, I thought it'd be better. Look at you in makeup. Look at this. You got Vaseline. That's not what I'm looking for. Some support.
Stop sealing my bits.
All I want is support.
Stop sealing my bits. Come on.
Nets played well last night. James Harden makes his return. 25 minutes, 18 points. He is amazing. 6 of 8 shooting, 3 of 4 from 3, 7 rebounds. He almost had a triple-double in 25 minutes, 7 rebounds and 11 assists. Do you know what their record is when I think it's Harden or Durant play? They are 25-4 this season.
Not surprising, and to see him do this coming right out of the gate, not surprising either. I get it. I do want to see what the intensity is like when we're talking about the postseason. I want to see the three of these guys face a team that actually goes and is playing at a high level defensively. I mean, they're gonna score 120 without blinking. I think they have to score 125, and that's frankly right about what they average. But in the playoffs, it's going to be more difficult. I think they're going to have to score 125 a game to win consistently in the postseason. I think they can. I'm not convinced that they will.
I think one of the benefits of not having these guys healthy in and out of the lineup is how much run the bench has got and now how deep this bench is. I mean, there's no deeper team in the NBA.
Nope, not when they're healthy.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, it seems like they're going to be healthy. The thing with James Harden, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, as good as Kyrie is, he is not as valuable as James Harden is to this team. If there's no James Harden, I don't think this team wins a championship.
I think you're right. Could they go to the NBA Finals if they had two of the three?
If the two of the three were Durant and Harden, yes. If it's just Durant and Kyrie, I don't know.
So
hang on a second. Are we talking about if they had two of the three now? Or are we talking about if they had never gotten Harden, they couldn't win a championship?
Both.
Because I still think they could have won a championship if they hadn't made the trade, if they kept LeVert and they kept Jared Allen. I think, you know, there was a time where I would have argued that they were a better team in that instance.
Rank for me in importance from 1 to 3, the three big players on this team.
Durant.
Level of importance?
Yes, level of importance for them to succeed in the postseason.
Well, Durant, I think you
got to go Durant because he's already won.
I go Kyrie second.
No, I don't.
You go Harden third?
I do.
That's another horrible take by you.
Because, again, you're talking about the playoffs. And you're talking about Kyrie in the playoffs versus Harden in the playoffs. And I have always felt like, even though we get tired of the act off the floor, right? I'm not denying how great they are. It's 1-1A, 1-B. It's not even a clear-cut 1-2-3. But if I had to take two of the three players to try to go win a championship, I would take Kyrie over Harden.
So you would eliminate Harden if you could pick two of these three to win the championship now?
Yes. Wow. But I don't think that as presently constituted, this is why I'm saying, I don't think they had to make the trade to win a title. I don't think they did. I think they could have won the title with the group that they had. I think right now they may win a title by outscoring everybody, but I think that was a better overall just team in everything they did. That's all.
Yeah, but you never saw it. I don't know if I agree with that either. I would almost like it's so close for me between Durant and Harden.
I put Harden 1, actually.
Yeah, he's closer to 1 than he is 3 for me. Like, yeah, you can talk about, listen, you're right, Carl. I mean, Kyrie has won. I mean, humongous shot, and he's won a championship. But, I mean, Kyrie, he was not the one facilitating that offense. He's more of a scorer than somebody that's going to orchestrate the offense like James Harden does.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to have any problem when you have Kevin Durant on the floor facilitating
but he's going to make it easier for Kevin Durant. You don't want Kevin Durant as your primary ball handler.
Durant's going to get 30 no matter what. He's going to get 30, and he's going to get 30 efficient.
I'm worried about the other guys, though. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about who can all of a sudden – there is nobody on the floor that draws as much attention as James Harden does.
No.
and his ability to pass out of double teams is crazy. Like last night,
he had 11 assists in 25 minutes last night.
The high pick and roll, where all of a sudden, I mean, then he makes that pocket pass. It's insane.
It's almost impossible to stop. Here is Harden from last night. Were you surprised at how well you played in your return?
Not really. Not to like brag or anything, but I'm like, I'm really good at this game. You know, I study the game. I'm very unselfish. I take the game and I play it the right way every single night. So I don't try to do anything that I can't do or anything that doesn't benefit our team. And if that mindset right there keeps me in a really good place.
They're almost unstoppable. If they're all going to be healthy for the postseason and the importance of these games, they're almost unstoppable. I stand by the fact, and I know, Carlin, I think you take the other route, that this team is going to go to the NBA Finals.
I'm not going to be... I'm not saying it's definitively no. I'm saying, put it this way, I said this to Wischusen yesterday. If you gave me two teams right now, if you gave me the Nets and the Lakers right now versus taking the field to win an NBA championship, right now, I'm taking the field.
All right. Nets to go to the NBA Finals or the field?
I'd still probably have to take the Nets.
Right.
When I take the field in the NBA Finals, I'm thinking more about Western Conference teams. I'm thinking more about their ability to win a title. I don't believe fully in Giannis in the postseason yet. And while I think the Nets have absolutely no answer for Joel Embiid, I don't believe in the Sixers' abilities to hang with the Nets overall.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, though, too. And you mentioned, you know, postseason and how that's different. And a lot of people point to what James Harden's been in the postseason. I'm honestly willing to throw that out the window with how much different his role on this Nets team is going to be as opposed to what it was in Houston. Like, you're not asking him to shoulder the burden of, you know, carrying a team offensively in the postseason with this team. I mean, he's here to be a legitimate point guard. And if all of a sudden I got Kevin Durant and Kyrie that I can put in good spots to make shots. Those guys are walking buckets. I don't know, man. I mean, Durant makes this team Harden makes this team a whole different animal. Even when it was just Harden, Dave. Remember, go back to when it was just Harden when Kyrie and Durant were both out.
Of course.
I give the guy tons of credit, man. I mean, again, you talk about he took eight shots last night. Eight.
It doesn't
still
matter.
Still go for 18 points. What's the matter with him?
He dished out 11 assists in 25 minutes. They scored 128 points, and Kyrie didn't even play in that game. I just think, you know, everyone says, well, playoff time, it becomes much more difficult. Well, you know what? You don't see offenses like this in the postseason very often.
No,
you
don't.
The three of these guys are healthy. I still stand by the fact I think they're on the verge of being unstoppable.
Listen, offensively, I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to deny that. What I do wonder is there going to come a time where they need to come up with stops and they can't? You know, because they're just not interested in playing a whole lot of defense.
I think that is their only way that they don't wind up. Injury or just defensively, they're so bad, are the only two things that can get in their way. If they're healthy and their defense is average, Carlin, I think you see them in the NBA Finals.
Oh, I agree, but there is this, you know, since they got Harden, their defense has fallen off significantly statistically. And they, at times they've shown up, but like, you can't convince me that Kyrie Irving's ever going to really defend. You can't convince me that James Harden is ever going to defend. Durant's the only one that I believe is a capable defender in that regard.
I think at the big moment, they will be the best version of themselves defensively.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to the NFL again. And then Diana Rossini is going to join us in about 12 minutes, and we'll have rollicking conversation with her. 800-919-3776. He's been on hold for hours. He's maybe the biggest fan of the show, and that is Lonnie in Harlem. Good morning, Lonnie.
Yes, I've been on hold since about 6-something o'clock. But, you know, for you guys, I'll wait. I'll hold. I'm listening, so it doesn't matter. Family, good morning. I called in today because I wanted to see what you guys, well, you basically did the win-loss section just like the K-Show did yesterday pretty much. I just wanted to really see what you guys felt about how our two New York teams will really do this year. Jets with a new young quarterback. Zach saved by the Bell Wilson. Hopefully he does a good job. Then we got Danny Downs on the other end with the Giants. Hopefully he does a good job. I'm hoping that Rob Saleh does a good job as well as Joe Judge. He's already
It can't be worse. It can't be worse, Lonnie.
I mean, listen, Adam Gase was
terrible.
Sheesh. Rico, you know the bag of doo-doo that you put on the doorstep?
Yep.
That was him. So I just wanted to call and ask you guys about that. Also, Dave, you know what I'm about to say to you about Miss Diana Rossini. Keep it PG, please. Uncle Carlin and Uncle Rico, I'm going to need you to stay in line as well because Miss Diana, you know, I think she got a little scared after that first time.
No, I always keep it in line. I'm straight ahead.
What do you mean? Last time you went Buffalo Bill on her last time.
No.
Oh, almost. Well, no, the first time, not the last time. Last time, Dave kept it very good. Dave, I think you should. Now, if she denies the podcast, Dave.
Why would she?
She feels a certain type of way. I just want to let you know that. Also, I feel like we're not being good guests because Uncle Carlin didn't get to do his Steelers. Hopefully, we can get into that as well. Maybe he could talk a little bit about that, see how they're going
to
do.
He's not even a real Steelers fan. Will you stop it, please? He's a fraud.
What the hell does that mean?
Well, yeah. What does that mean? And Lonnie, thanks for the call. Let's jump off on that. Why would you take a shot at Carlin?
Why would you
like
say that?
I was just trying to move on. I figured that would push us towards where we needed to go.
Oh, you're trying to move the show. Okay.
I was trying to pace the show a little bit.
Exactly.
Because Dave refuses to do it. He just can't.
What the hell Steelers does that mean?
Fan. I tell you exactly what it means.
You're the devil is what you are.
You know who Zach Wilson looks like? Nick Carter.
Yeah,
he's
Nick Carter, Mark Paul Gosselaar kind of lookalike.
I don't know. I don't see the Mark Paul Gosselaar.
No, me either. What? I think Nick Carter is it. Nick Carter's it. I'm telling you.
He's that good-looking California-style kid.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he looks exactly like Mark. The Nick Carter thing, I absolutely get.
Yes. Yes.
The Mark Paul Gosselaar thing, yeah.
See, Carl, this is what happens when you're just focused on one show and you kind of do research.
Oh, my God.
You study up for the one show.
Yes, when you study the appearances of people and who they look exactly like.
When you spread too thin because you got podcasts.
I got a lot going
stuff.
On. Let's go up.
By the way, I'll be hosting 12 to 2 today with Bob Wischusen.
See, look at this. The guy's doing multiple shows and
it's
doesn't
like 2 hours
you
off.
At all.
I listened to it yesterday. It's like Carl takes 2 hours off.
Bobby in Albany. Bobby, pace us, baby.
He's a caddy for Wischusen.
Go, Bobby. Go. Run
Nick
with it. Here's the baton.
Clinch, baby. Nick's clinch. Finally. Boston lost last night, made him clinch. It's been since 2013. I figured we could discuss a little bit about that. I know they've had a really good season this year. Tough loss with the Lakers the other day. Just wanted to, you know, I'm excited that finally they get a playoff berth. I'm hoping that a Miami loss or two gets them back up to the fifth seed. And I also wanted to ask you guys, aside from that, what you guys think about New York Giants' schedule that was released last night. That's about it.
I think they have a really good chance to get off to a really solid start this year, which I think is really important. Because how many years do the Giants, it's 1-4, it's 0-5, it's 2-6, and you're like, all right, now we're playing out the string. I think this is the year they can finally get out to a good start.
Yeah, I don't think there's any excuse not to, though.
They're going to get to a great start. They're going to collapse like a house of cards.
I don't know why you would say that.
If I'm going to look at it objectively without your stupid big blue glasses on,
no,
I would understand.
That's not true. I don't do that.
Starting at week 11, it's going to get very tough.
I don't think Philly's as tough as you think they are.
No,
I'm
saying it's not a foregone conclusion that they're going to sweep Philly.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I gave them a loss.
You
in
you
Miami.
Have them winning both games.
I think Philly's not going to be good, but I didn't say it's a foregone conclusion.
When you say they're going to split or they're going to sweep the two games, you're saying it's a foregone conclusion.
No, I'm
you're
not. Right. Foregone conclusion is like, oh. The Eagles stink and will absolutely beat them. I think the Giants will be better than the Eagles, and I think they'll win both games. But I don't think that it's out of the realm of possibility that the Eagles could win one.
Okay. Well, I think that the Eagles will win one. And you have to go on the road to Tampa, Miami, the Rams, and Chicago.
No, you
and
don't
you have
go on
Dallas
the road to the, you don't go on
mix.
The road to the Rams. All right,
huh?
You're on the road against the Chargers. And I gave
Chargers,
them a loss in Miami.
Chargers.
I gave them a loss against the Chargers. And I gave them a loss against Tampa. I think they beat the Eagles. I think they beat the Bears. I think they beat the Cowboys. And I think they beat Washington.
So I have, but I'm talking about Washington is fine in week 18. That's, I think they won that game too. but I have the Giants not finishing well after week 11. And I think everything else, actually, the first half of the year couldn't be better. You get your bye at week 10, right when you would want it. You get the first half of the schedule really sets up nicely, hence my 6-3 prediction. But I think it really gets hard with that Tampa game is when it starts. That's all. I think they will split with Finley. I think the two games that they win in the second half of that year, or from that point on, from that ninth game on, is they will win at Philly, or they will win one of the two Philly games, assuming, probably the one at home, and they will win week 18 against Washington.
So you have them absolutely soiling themselves and collapsing, is what you have.
Yeah, that's about how I would paint the picture.
I mean, if they, Rick, if they start out 6-3, and the Giants finish 8-9 like he has, you want Rothenberg untucked? You'll have it right here live in front of your face every morning.
No, that's Rothenberg unhinged. That's Dave Rothenberg off the rails.
Lose it if that happens.
But here's the other thing, though. The more I listen to people, I mean, obviously, you know, Cowboys, Dak's coming back. You know, offense is great. They're trying to add pieces to the defense, which was horrendous. You know, new defensive coordinator. I've heard all that stuff. But, I mean, Greeny, and there's so many people. Oh, Washington, they got an elite defense. They got the best front seven and yada, yada, yada. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick has never made the playoffs. Why all of a sudden now is this the year that's going to happen?
He's never done it. Listen, you could argue this is the best team he's been on. That defense is really good. But I don't know why you'd think the offense is going to be great this year for Washington.
I don't know why you would either.
I'm not even joking. I'm not saying this to make you happy. Like, I look at Dallas. I mean, on paper, it feels like it should be the team that probably would win the division. I don't think the Giants are very far off.
No, I think they're right there. I think there's three teams that have a real chance to win this division. I exclude Philly and the other three teams. I think it's kind of up for grabs. All
that's
right.
A bold take.
Well, you know what? It's a hot take, and that's the kind of take I'm bringing to the table today. Diana Rossini. I'm
three of the
my
four
best
teams
behavior.
Have a chance.
What'd you say?
I'm going to go out on a limb. I think three of the four teams in the division have a chance to win it.
I don't understand why.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. Those broadcast school lessons are really paying off.
I said I think the Giants have a great chance to win the division.
Yeah, but you just said three of the four. Well, everyone, no one expects the Eagles, of course. Anyone would say that.
Of course.
You know what we call that, Rick? A scorcher.
You know what? The AFC East deserve each other. Why do you have Canty? Will come back next week. The three of you guys will do the show. I'll bow out. I'll do whatever Carlin is doing now. Because it's apparent that it's just gang up on Rothenberg.
No, I don't need our help.
No, I know. These scorching takes may be too much for me and Chris to take.
All right, I got a break. Because you know what? I'm the one that gets blamed. Now you're running late.
Dave will be doing first take later this morning.
Rick, you want to interrupt me again? Should we do that? Can I start a read and you'll jump in there?
No, we'll do that.
We'll do that when we return.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Friend of mine. The talented Diana Rossini. Good morning, Diana. How are you?
Good morning. I like that we've advanced our relationship to friendly now. We went from awkward and a little weird to now we're friends. I appreciate that. Just dive right into it. That's how I approach all of it.
I feel like we've gotten past. Yeah, I feel like we've gotten past that awkward moment and we are now friends. In fact, so much so that I'd like to extend an olive branch to you if you'll accept. I've just launched a burgeoning new podcast, which is starting to make some noise in the podcast world. Would you like to be a guest on the podcast at any point?
That's really nice of you to ask me. I'm going to pass, but thank you so much for thinking of me.
Why would you pass?
You know, I've got a lot of stuff going on. I have to be really particular these days with what I want to appear on. And I just, there's almost like a standard I'm at right now in my career where I want to pick certain types.
Oh, no.
And why don't we see where your ratings are at in like 2 weeks and then have your people call mine and we'll see if maybe I can fit you in.
I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. I think you're going to be knocking down my door to come on the podcast at some point soon.
I would love to join. So you just let me know when you want me to come on and What's the basis of your podcast, by the way? Because, you know, this is a very flooded market right now with podcasts.
Well, what I do is it's called Rothenberg Untalked. And I'd like to learn the genesis of how you got into the industry and kind of the backstory and a little bit of that. We'll get into a little NFL as well. And we'll have hijinks and fun and we'll go in a lot of different directions. I think you'll have a great time, Diana.
Oh, that does sound good. Yeah, my story is not very exciting. It's basically just my family told me early on, you better figure it out. You're not that pretty. You're not that smart. So you better work real hard. So that's
well,
my story.
We're gonna have you on the podcast, and we'll learn a lot about you that day. All right, so let's learn a lot about the
that
NFL
wasn't
right
just
now.
The podcast that we just spent
yeah,
5 minutes
on? Yeah,
it
felt like it.
All right,
felt like Dave really just took about 4 minutes to promote his podcast.
It was 90 seconds. I asked her a question. We had a little witty banter back and forth, and now we move on. The Giants schedule, obviously every schedule is out. Giants, a lot of people think they're going to get off to a good start. Carlin thinks they're going to collapse late in the season. Do you look at the, like, would you be surprised at all, Diana, if the Giants, in fact, won this division?
I wouldn't be surprised. I just don't have a lot of confidence in it. I know you guys are talking about how many games you think they're going to be able to win this season. And, you know, these are always so fun to have these conversations in May. But I think anything more than six games is very, very optimistic. It's
wow.
Almost like, have you guys been watching the Giants the last few seasons? Where is all this optimism coming from? What did they do to really show that they made significant changes in the areas that they need to get better? Look, they got weapons for Daniel Jones. I'm all in for what they were trying to do here, and they're trying to build him. And I was on the Daniel Jones train for a while, and I'm beaten down at this point in terms of just, I don't know. I still can't figure out if he has it. I almost feel similarly about Sam Darnold. There's things I love that make me believe, and then there's, unfortunately, low lights that we've all seen that just don't tell me that this team can roll Daniel Jones back out this year and win 10 games.
Diana Rossini joins us on the show, my new favorite guest, just crushing every single one of Dave Rothenberg's dreams right in front of our very eyes, and I love it. I'm here for all of it. So in saying that, Diana, you don't trust the Giants. I know I've seen you on Get Up. Greeny is in love with the Washington football team. I mean, who do you look at in this division and think is the team that ends up, you know, winning it?
So this is I'm reaching here because I never pick them. But there's just something about the Eagles this season. I know that their secondary isn't very good. The question marks at quarterback, I mean, we know who they're going to be playing. But I think there are things that they can do. Taking a look at their schedule as well, I think it can help them. They've sort of had the advantage in some areas with some of the teams that they're facing this year. They're not on the road. I think they're away once in November and December, which is such a great advantage late in the season, especially when you're competing within the division. So I've got the Eagles here, and I don't want to make any predictions, but I still think that they're going to wind up doing something big before the start of the season to improve their roster. So if that ever comes to fruition, I can't wait to come back on the show, and I hate
to
paint it that way.
Whoa.
I opened up the can.
That smells like a Deshaun Watson situation is what that smells like.
Don't be reading my notes. No, I don't know anything at this point. Firm, there's obviously rumors. It's not my job to come here and spread them. But I daydream a lot about what that could look like. What it would look like for Houston to finally recognize that this isn't going to work. And look, trading is on the table. They're open to it. I was on Get Up for 3 months saying, it's not happening. Everyone I was talking to in Houston was like, stop wasting your time. Stop calling us. Like, we're not trading him. It's Deshaun Watson. And they changed their tune. They did. And I've heard, and even just continually talking with them, that it's still on the table. And this, even though they've got to deal with these lawsuits, I think that's going to go away. And I think this is going to come back to light this summer, guys. And I think the Eagles could be a team in on it.
Diana Rossini with us. Diana, on the Jets quickly, what is a reasonable expectation for improvement this year if you were to ballpark a number of wins?
Seven. I feel like that's such a... I'm being very hard today. I apologize. Look, I like the moves that they made. I hate crowning any team after the draft, especially of... They want it. They're going to be winners because we've done, guys, how many times have we done this? I've spoken on this radio station a million times thinking this is the year. This is the year for the Jets. I think Zach Wilson has to come out and play well quick, which is so unfair as a rookie. But I think knowing that this organization needs to get this right, they took a big chance on moving on from Sam Darnold. And there's enough people in this league I've spoken to who still believe that that was not a good move. I mean, we shall see, obviously. But I think the pressure is going to be on quickly, and I just hope that the adjustment from college to the NFL, the transition isn't going to be as hard for him as we've seen in the past with other rookies.
Danny, we know you got to run, so one more quickly, and we'll let you go. The Packers bring in Blake Bortles. Does that signify anything about Aaron Rodgers, and do you think Rodgers returns to Green Bay, or do they somehow move on from him this offseason?
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, obviously to talking to people around the league about other topics, schedules, just things the last few days, I always love to just ask every person, so you think Rodgers goes back? You know, people that have nothing to do with the Green Bay Packers, but people in the NFL. And guys, I can't find a person, not one person, who believes that Aaron Rodgers is returning. I know that there have been teammates, friends of his that have sort of shed a little light that, yeah, it could get worked out. This isn't about money. This is relationship. It can be fixed. But the sense I was getting, even before Schefter revealed all of this, because a lot of this was building, as I'm sure you guys know, there's a lot of whispers about this going on for a while, going back to why they didn't get his contract done. He's done, is the sense I'm getting from playing for the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, I know that they've got five primetime games. The league obviously thinks that Aaron's coming back. But at this point, mid-May, I would be really surprised if Aaron returns.
Wow. Lot to unpack there. Diana, we appreciate a couple minutes. We will talk to you soon. And my people will reach out. We'll get you on the podcast. I appreciate it.
I got to get on a project myself so I can come on here and self-promote as much as you.
There you go. we'll talk. Diana, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
You guys are wonderful. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. There's a lot there that she said, by the way.
Oh, she's the best. Yeah. I mean, she is the best.
She's a savage.
I loved it right at the beginning. I mean, it's so Jersey just to come out and say, I'm going to pass. Yeah.
But she's softened. She'll come on.
Yeah.
Oh, she could hear the defeat in your voice. She wanted you usable for the rest of the interview.
I was very upset. I thought
you have to sit this one out.
I was going. I mean, the way you guys have treated me and the way that she just did that, I was
I'm all set with the podcast. Dave just had the Giants going 10-7, maybe winning the division. She goes,
and she says, I don't see more than six.
Got the Eagles winning.
She got the Eagles winning the division.
Dave's got the Eagles basically going winless.
Think about what she just said, though. Seriously. She thinks the Giants are no better than
Deshaun Watson too.
No better than six wins. She thinks the Eagles win the division and they could wind up with Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers is done in Green Bay. That's a lot that she dropped on there.
And the beauty of that is how that will directly affect your life. If that's true, it feels like Denver would be the team. So you got to face Aaron Rodgers week one.
Oh, and now my God.
If she's somehow got the Giants getting swept by the Eagles.
Oh.
And here's the best part, too, about that whole thing. You don't play the Eagles till later on in the season, too. So if they do trade for Deshaun Watson, if he does have some kind of suspension.
Okay.
Forget about
the Eagles when he comes back.
I'll be like a monk that doesn't talk.
To her point, the Eagles don't get on a plane after week 10.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. That's nuts.
I'd be upset about that, though, because the plane rides, the food, peanut butter sandwiches, oh, it's the best.
Because you couldn't get a peanut butter sandwich unless you're on a plane.
No, but it's different. Like, after a big game, a big win, you come back.
Dave,
you have a couple,
it just hits different.
Yeah, it hits different. A couple beers, peanut butter sandwich.
Oh. Peanut butter and beer?
Oh, yeah.
You've never done
peanut butter and beer?
No.
I mean, geez, are you American?
He's not a real man is the problem.
Peanut butter and beer? No, I do like a peanut butter.
I thought
butter
you went to college.
And what do you mean peanut butter? You don't you're just a peanut butter without the jelly?
You can go solo peanut butter. You can go peanut butter and jelly.
Guys are like animals. No wonder the gorilla threw feces at you. What a terrible take. It's probably so bothered by the fact you don't use the jelly.
Eating a peanut butter sandwich and all of a sudden you're a Philistine.
this guy looks like it's just a peanut butter guy. I'm going to throw some poop at him.
Watch what I'm going to take it out on him. Look at me. Throw this right at him. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, seven wins from your Jets, right from the mouth of Diana Rossini. Good morning.
Hey, how are you? Good morning. Good morning, fellas. Yeah, you know what? I think seven might be a stretch. I think they're going to need the Bills to rest everybody the last week of the year if they're not playing for anything. But listen, the schedule makers didn't do them any favors. Zach Wilson's going to have to put on his big boy pants from week one. I love the intriguing matchup. I like the storyline. But if you look at it, I think they could get the Eagles at home. I think they beat the Jaguars at home. I don't like Wilson, you know, rookie quarterbacks going against Belichick, but guess what? Sanchez did it in 09 in week two, beating Belichick as a rookie, so I give him a win there. I think it could be just between the Eagles and the Saints to get a split. So I think if they enter that Bills game, they're going to have a shot at 6 or 7 wins. But what Rick said, I mean, ultimately, the end of the day, Rick's right. I definitely agree. Whether they win 6 games, 8 games, 7 games, that's really not about it. It's about Sala's program, Douglas's program, and getting the quarterback grooming the right way so he finishes strong. So whether they win 6, 7, or 8 is not the criteria to me. It's how the team progresses and how it looks forward going into next season and what they need to take that next step.
I think you're 100% right. I couldn't agree with you more. If the Jets win 5 games, but I get to the end of the year and I say Zach Wilson is legit and I like what Rob Sala has done here with this organization and the picks of Joe Douglas have panned out, wins are, at least for me this coming season, secondary for the Jets.
I would love to see 6 at least. And I'm more optimistic than even Ira. I had them getting up to 7 or 8. So I think that wins. Yeah.
See, the problem is how can we win
through it earlier, that's where I came out. I think I came out at 8 and 9. No, that was
No, you were 7 and 10 with the Jets.
How do you envision of the 6 games they play in this division, the Jets go better than at best case scenario 2 and 4?
Oh, I don't. But when we went through the rest of the schedule, I had them at 7. So that's
Carl, that's part of the issue for me too. I mean, with this, I mean, Zach Wilson, and again, I mean, fingers crossed, this thing is, I mean, it ends up working itself out. But especially going into the first year, what this kid's dealing with in his own division. I mean, look at the teams and the coaches that he's dealing with. Bill Belichick's one of maybe the best defensive coach of all time.
Yep.
Sean McDermott.
You know they're going to be better this year. You have a team that was in the AFC Championship game last year.
And then Brian Flores is a great defensive coach too.
Yeah, no, listen, he's going to have to deal with an awful lot. I am of the opinion that the Patriots, in going out and spending as much as they did, you know, we've seen that fail on teams before. So how good is Mac Jones going to be? Is he going to take the job over from Cam Newton early in the season? I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't see where they're going to go more than 2 and 4. But I do think they can win 7 games this year.
I got to tell you, DCR presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. If the Jets won 7 games, and I know the 17 games, so it's not the same, but if they went 7 and 10, that would be a phenomenal season.
Oh, massive year.
Phenomenal season.
Yeah. Huge step in the right direction.
Well, yeah, but I don't care how many games you're playing. You're still talking about going from 2 wins to 7 wins.
Yep.
You're still going +5, which is, I mean, that's a humongous improvement.
Meanwhile,
the rookie quarterback?
As far as what Diana said about the Giants, they shouldn't even bother playing the season.
Could you imagine? I'm telling you, you want unhinged, you want untucked. If they go 6-11 and they stink, but I don't agree with what she said. She's like, why would she believe now they're the same team? Are they the same team?
I think she meant the same quarterback. If you think the Giants are going to be bad, what you're saying is you don't think Daniel Jones is very good.
And then you're going to have to remedy that in this offseason.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically what you're saying. And look, they got the Chicago pick to do that if they need to do that.
By the way, update on Diana Rossini. She now follows me on Twitter, She just tweeted at me.
That's a safety precaution is what that is.
No, it's not. Can't wait to come on the pod! !
Yeah, this is all for timestamps.
No. She appreciates what I'm doing. She appreciates my forthrightness and asking her on the podcast, and she appreciates the talent that I bring to the table, and she would love to be a guest on the pod.
What's clear, though, I would say, is that the creepiness factor is obviously still there because it was the first thing that she mentioned, right? I mean, that it was there, and she feels good that you've grown from it, but, you know, you forgive, you don't forget. Rick, thoughts, comments?
Agreed, 100%. First thing out of her mouth.
Yeah. Well, all I know is that she now follows me and tweeted that she'd love to come on the podcast. So you could take it however you'd like, but I take that as a tremendous plus right now.
Oh, good for you. It's been quite a day, hasn't it? Al, I've done all I can do. Good night, everybody.
It really has. 800-919-3776. Rick, KJZ, a lot of NFL conversation. They're leading 8 o'clock in just 8 minutes from right now with the Giants, with Gettleman, maybe even with what Diana had to say about this team. But I got to tell you, if they go 6-11, to say I would be mildly disappointed would be a tremendous understatement. Oof.
Yeah, I can't imagine that happening. Listen,
I don't think so either.
No, because I mean, they're really well coached. You saw what their defense did last year, and I don't think anyone expected their defense to be as good as it was. I mean, you've addressed the other corner position that I mean clearly was something that needed to be addressed. Edge pass rush is still, you know, obviously something that they lack. I don't think, you know, you're going to ask the rookie to all of a sudden step in and be the difference maker, you know, but he'll fit in. But I mean, it really lies with the offense. You have the second worst offense in the NFL. That's going to be the difference maker this year. And they've given him everything he needs to go out and prove to everyone that he can play.
Can we talk about one thing that hasn't been discussed enough?
Yes, please.
That, quite simply, they are needing a massive step forward from Andrew Thomas.
Yes.
Massive.
Yes.
I mean, Lewis Riddick a few weeks ago was on a Zoom call on an event to benefit a project in New Jersey. And called Andrew Thomas a turnstile from last year.
I don't think that's fair.
Well, I think at times it was fair.
I think at times it was fair, but I will say this. A, it was as difficult a season as you could have. And I know you'll say, well, the other left tackles that were drafted were better, and that's true. But I think he got better as the season went on. And I don't think there's any reason to think he won't be a better player in year two.
I hope so, because if you're going to grade what the four tackles from the draft did last year,
he's 4-4.
Yeah. And
couldn't agree more.
Yeah. It needs to be a major, major step forward, because what are we talking about right now? We're talking about him at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a guy in probably Peart at right tackle or Nate Solder.
I think it's going to be Peart. Yep.
Yeah. And at that point, and Nate Solder is then the answer if you have to sit either guy down or you lose either guy. Like, we can talk about Jones and needing to take that step forward. Those two guys are everything to what they have to do this year.
This is a huge year for the Giants. Let's go to Dan in White Plains. Dan, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I just want to comment. I think that the Giants will definitely make the playoffs. I'm not as worried as it sounds. I have more faith in Joe Judge. And I also think that if Daniel Jones doesn't show any kind of progression this year, what makes you think that the Giants couldn't make a move for Aaron Rodgers themselves?
What do you mean? At what point? He's going to get traded. If Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded, he's probably going to get traded, you know, post-June.
The Giants are not making a move for a quarterback now. They will sit with Daniel Jones for at least one more season.
There's no way Dave Gettleman is moving on. I mean, that's, again, I mean, it would be something that I would consider if that was a real possibility. But I mean, again, Dave Gettleman's job is going to be whether or not Daniel Jones can play.
If Daniel Jones stinks, Dave Gettleman's tenure here with the Giants was a disaster.
But
yeah,
nobody's going to fault him to look into it. I mean, would you go and take, let's just say it comes down to this. And if you're the Giants, if you're the NFC team that's trying to get Aaron Rodgers, you're going to pay an NFC tax.
Yep.
In trying to get him. So, Dave, would you give away your two first-round picks next year and the first-round pick the year after to get Aaron Rodgers?
God.
I would. Absolutely.
I guess I would. But Carl, they're not going to. They're not going to move on from a quarterback after 2 years.
I mean, I understand, like, the notion of moving on from a quarterback, but we're talking about the availability of one of the all-time greats who still has 4 or 5 years left.
Yeah, I guess Dave Gettleman needs to win now. But you also know that there's zero chance that they would ever do something like that. It is the most non-Giants-like move in the history of football.
It is the most non-Giants-like move, but a guy like this has never been available before. Has never been available before. So if you're that kind of team, I mean, there's a reason that they're listed in the teams that are potentially in position to go and get him. And that trade with the Bears, like, listen, I don't think it's going to happen. But if there was a possibility of trading those three picks,
yep,
to do that, and I had to throw in Jones, or if they didn't believe in Jordan Love, I wouldn't think twice.
But here's what you can do. If it's a disaster this year, Now, God knows what happens with Russell Wilson. God knows what happens with Deshaun Watson. God knows what quarterbacks in the draft that you might fall in love with. You do it after this year. You wouldn't do it now. Wouldn't make any sense to do it now with Daniel Jones heading into year three. All right, Santi. Not one, not two, but three stars of the
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Going to preface this by saying today is the rare Dave Rothenberg sweep.
Yes.
Rather. We're going to start in the 7 o'clock hour because the NFL schedule came. 5 o'clock hour, rather. I'm sorry. The NFL schedule came out, and Dave was really hyped. He's got the Giants finishing 10-7, you know, but Rick brought up an interesting point in what the people want to see when it comes to Dave Rothenberg and the Giants.
They don't want to go to the zoo and watch the lion sleep. They want to watch the lion when there's all of a sudden a feeding frenzy.
What, would the lion to juggle his own feces? There's no reason for that.
No, the lion doesn't juggle the feces. The gorilla will occasionally throw the feces at you, which has happened to me numerous times at the zoo.
First of all, I don't know where you got that the lion juggled its own feces, ever.
Never. Only in Madagascar or something like that. Only that lion can juggle.
Well, I don't know how many times you have
to. I don't think that was in Madagascar either.
Before you stop going up to the gorilla cage.
Which led us to that conversation where feces is apparently thrown from the gorilla cage at some of our hosts very frequently. I don't know.
Number two,
Professor Dave.
I want to be a college professor. Why can't we talk about that?
For the many uncomfortable reasons that we've already discussed, I mean, I also feel bad for any student that would walk in late and if they were slightly overweight because Dave would go off on them.
And now look at this obese man that's going to sit in the chair.
Number one.
Great college professor.
And of course, now we have tweets that kind of contradict this now, but I mean, Dave asked Diana Rossini straight up.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast at any point?
That's really nice of you to ask me. I'm going to pass.
I feel like she's being held hostage. I already tweeted her to blink twice if she's in danger. So we'll see if she shows up on the Rothenberg Podcast Network later in the week. It's all fun and games,
but I have a tweet 8 minutes ago that says, can't wait to join you on the podcast. And she follows me now on Twitter. So I'm the big winner, as is Rule 76.
No excuses. Playing a champion is DPH O'Connell Rothenberg and...
Yeah, everybody.
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.